Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. The Bible says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." Let's read it again. "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." You know what we need in Christianity today? We need boldness. Christians need to be bold enough to witness and to take a stand for Jesus Christ wherever they are and not fold their tent. They need to be strong like a lion and not flutter in the wind like a fallen leaf off of a tree. When you got saved, you became righteous in Jesus Christ. So the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, you have that righteousness. I realize that you're sometimes tempted to go back and remind yourself of your past and how that frustrated you, that you allowed yourself to do and say some of the things that you did and said. But it's gone now. It's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have His righteousness. So the righteous are bold as a lion. The only thing that can set you back from this righteousness that you have is piling up sins in the flesh that cause you to run, you know, with a guilty conscience. Now I realize after our broadcast, there's another broadcast. And these guys have found a clever way around this problem. But that doesn't eliminate it entirely, because where's the boldness? I mean, in other words, people will call in and they'll say, "Well, I feel troubled about my past." And they'll tell them it's all under the blood. It's all done at Calvary. You know, and all of what they say is true concerning the soul, but it's not true concerning the flesh. You see, because Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, we've got to cleanse the flesh and the spirit. Because you still live in a body, and that body still sins. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." Now, why did he say that? Us. He didn't say you. He said us. Cleanse ourselves. Why did he say that? Unless it were true. It is true. And the way to clean yourself from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit is to plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ again and do what John said when he said, "If we," that was John writing as a saved man, "confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's what perfects holiness in the fear of God. See, and so when these guys have talked people out of doing that kind of thing, the sins pile up. They thank God for dying for them. But what happens is they lose their boldness. And so, you know, there's a problem. They wouldn't be calling day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year with the same question if their conscience wasn't weighing them down. And I'll tell you, a guilty conscience will weigh you down, and the only relief for it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. "How much more so the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." So you need to plead the blood regularly. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you for those things, because they do affect your flesh, and you do still live in the flesh, and they affect your spirit, and you still do need to be filled with the Spirit of God, and to simply walk around with that sin laden on you is going to leave you with a guilty conscience no matter how you try to let somebody talk you out of it. It's not legalism. It's Bible. All right? Now, you know what a guilty conscience will do to you? I'll show you. Look in Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, and look at verse 15. All right? This is about Joseph's brothers. They came to see him. Joseph said, "Forget it. God sent me before you. This was all God's plan. I know you guys are the ones that did it, but you meant it for evil. God meant it for good, so we're square. We're even. Come live with me." But after Jacob died and he'd been buried, watch what happened. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." They thought, now that Jacob's dead, okay, now he's going to get us. Because he didn't do it because Jacob was alive and Jacob loves us. And, you know, Jacob would have really suffered if Joseph had executed his wrath on us. But now that Dad's gone, oh boy, we're dead meat now. And you know what happened to him? They were fleeing when no man was pursuing, because Joseph told them once again, boys, settle down. I'm not going to get you. But that guilty conscience caused them to lose their boldness with Joseph and his promise that they had been forgiven. All right, in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 36, look at something else. Leviticus 26, 36. You can always remember Leviticus 26 because it deals with all of the curses that come upon Israel for failing to keep the commandments of God. And one of the things that God says in Leviticus 26, 36 is this. Upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. Why? Because they went wicked. You see, God had made that a righteous nation by him getting them out of Egypt, taking them into the wilderness, and then putting them in the land of Canaan. But he says, you're going to get so wicked on me by not doing what I ask you to do, you're going to flee when no man pursues you. That's what happens when you're weighed down by sin. Listen, Israel is the nation that God said, one of you will chase 1,000, that's Samson, and two of you shall put 10,000 to flight. That's the kind of promise that God made to them. But when they let sin enter the picture, and they didn't clear it, he says, you're going to flee when no man pursueth. Wickedness, man. Look at 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, the Syrians have surrounded Samaria. Samaria is besieged. The people inside the city are starving to death. They have no way to win the war. They're praying, and God's going to deliver. Now notice how he got the Syrians out from around Samaria. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. Now, there wasn't a great host there. There weren't even any chariots there. But that's what the Lord made them hear. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. There was nothing there. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. There was nobody after them. They simply heard that noise and split, man. Why? Wicked. Wicked. God was ready for them to get out of there, and he just got them out of there by making a noise. You see, there's no boldness in Joseph's brothers because of their guilty conscience. There's no boldness in Israel for their guilty relationship to the Lord God. There's no boldness of the Syrians for being wicked and attacking God's people. And so they go and nobody's pursuing. But you know something? When you, as a Christian, are in a right relationship with God, and you have the words of God, which are a sword, right? You knew that, right? Do you know where in the Bible says that the words of God are like a sword? Listen to this verse, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, you see. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is part of your armor in Ephesians chapter 6. You have a sword when you have the words of God. And when you're in a right relationship with God and you have the words of God, you have no reason to back down from any legitimate spiritual fight. None. Why? Because the Bible says, the righteous are bold as a lion. What happened to your boldness? Well, you say, I've let sin creep back into my life. Okay, then straighten that out. When this broadcast is done, get on your knees, if you can. I mean, if you're driving, you can pull over, bow your head in your seat there and say, now, Lord, I have really fouled up. I have let these things enter into my life again, whatever they are. And they are affecting my relationship with you. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I appreciate all that. But I am letting these things really beat me up terribly. I am having a terrible, terrible time of this. So right now I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over these things, my sins, these things that I'm doing that are wrong. I pray that you'll cleanse them. and then you go to a good Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. You sit down in your pew, you open that Bible, and let God start working on you through the preaching and teaching of the words of God. And I'll tell you what, in no time, you'll be back on boldness. You say, how do you know that? I was there. I was there. I let sin interfere in my relationship with God. And I remember distinctly the night that God and I had it out on the floor of my den years ago, 20 years ago, through the Word of God. And I did not have boldness the next morning when I woke up. All I did was I had assurance of my salvation, and I knew that the sins I'd committed had been washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew that. And I got up, and in short order, as I studied the words of God and listened to the preaching of the words of God, God began to develop a boldness, and I found myself witnessing to people. And I was not even consciously aware that I was getting ready to do that. I mean, there were times when I would, you know how we are, say, oh, I don't know if I could talk to him about the Lord or not. I'm kind of a bit scared there. But the Lord just overcame the fear and allowed me to be able to speak boldly about the words of God, and people started getting saved. And I was like, wow, how did that happen? You know how it happened? When you're in a right relationship with God and you have the words of God, you have no reason to back down from any legitimate spiritual fight. You should be as bold as a lion because, why? Your Savior is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Your Savior is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and He is bold as a lion, and He'll put that boldness in you. Now watch. Let's go look in the Bible at some examples. We've seen some examples of some wicked people that fled when no man pursued. Let's go to the Bible now and look at some righteous men who were bold as a lion. And of course, our example and our Savior and the man who resides in us that had boldness is Jesus Christ. And look what He did. Matthew chapter 21. All right, in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus Christ has made the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and He goes into the temple in Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Wow. That's bold preaching, and that's bold action. He said, I'm not going to put up with this nonsense anymore. Flipped over the tables, ran them out of there, and said, this is a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. No lack of boldness there. And that man right there that preached that resides in you right now. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. So where's your boldness? Why, when it comes to the things of the Lord, publicly do you act like a chicken? I say that reverently. I apologize to any chicken. No, seriously. Why do you do that? If you've cleaned up the sin that was in your life by getting saved and by pleading the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and having that blood applied to your sin, okay, and if you are in a right relationship with the Lord and you got the words of God, you ought to be bold. Now, I could say this. One of the reasons you might have also lost your boldness is that you might have a substitute for the words of God. The cover may say Holy Bible, but you might be dealing with a modern Bible. Somebody said, what's the right one? I had a lady call me the other day. I said, the Authorized King James Bible. That'll do it right there. The Authorized King James Bible right there. Get that? Now you got the sword. Now you got God's words in print, in English, that you can use, and you'll be bold. So the Lord went in there and took care of those religious hypocrites of His day. Look at Him in Matthew chapter 23 when He had a chance to dress them down. He says to them in Matthew chapter 23, verse 13, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. That's not very kind. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. That's even worse. That says what you're doing to lead these men is leading them to hell, not to heaven, or not into my kingdom. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. He told them right there, you're going to hell. You're not going to the kingdom of heaven. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And he goes right down the list there. He calls them fools. He calls them blind. He calls them hypocrites. It's terrible. I mean, he really, really raked him over the coals. And then he ends that thing, and he says to him in Matthew 23:33, he says, "You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" That, now, there's no lack of boldness in that. They no trying to find a way to agree to disagree there. I mean, he stood his ground, and they were either going to come up to his ground or they were going to fall. That's all there was to it. Now, this boldness that you see in Jesus Christ was also apparent on Peter and John. Look in Acts chapter 4. Whatever they saw in the Lord Jesus Christ was imputed or given to them, not imputed, but given to them by the Spirit of God. They seen it for 3.5 years, and then the Lord left and gave them the Spirit of God, and man, they had the same kind of boldness. All right, look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and look at verse 13. Now, this is the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, look at that. What characteristic was it about Peter and John that convinced these religious hypocrites that they were dealing with some real men of God? What characteristic was it? Well, Acts chapter 4, verse 13 tells you it was boldness. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, these religious hypocrites, these chief priests, these scribes, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, they told them, "You can't preach in the name of Jesus." So Peter said, "Okay, we'll see about that." And in Acts chapter 4, verse 19, he and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." In other words, all you telling us to shut up is going to do is going to get you to tell us to shut up, because we're not shutting up. We're going to obey God. God said, "Speak it," and we're going to speak it. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, they had another run-in with them. Then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men," and they did. They did. You know why? Because they were bold as a lion. You know why? Because they were righteous. So this boldness was apparent in Jesus Christ. This boldness was apparent in Peter and John. This boldness was apparent in Paul. Look at Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, Paul is preaching to Felix, his captor. Paul's in prison. The Jews are the ones that, you know, caused that to happen. So Felix and Paul are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and watch what happened. Paul reasoned in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. What was Felix's response? Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient, or when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Felix trembled. Well, that doesn't ordinarily happen with a man that's trying to play footsies with the guy that he's talking to. You know, people talk about lifestyle evangelism, and I understand your life does need to be a pattern for people to see Jesus Christ. But lifestyle evangelism is often interpreted to mean, "I'm going to keep my mouth shut," and it often becomes a cover for fear and a cover for your lack of courage. And let me tell you something, if you're right with God and you've got the words of God, you ought to be as bold as a lion, like these guys were. These are how you got saved. You're reading Paul's epistles. Look at the boldness he had in Acts chapter 26, verse 28, when he was talking in front of Agrippa. Acts chapter 26, verse 27. Paul says, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul had laid it on him so hard that Agrippa was given his best opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ of any opportunity he'd ever had before, because Paul did not back down when it came to preaching the gospel. And he was sitting there as the prisoner, supposedly giving a testimony to try to free himself, and he got more concerned for Agrippa's soul than he did anything else. What about old Daniel? You know, his story is so well known, there's no reason to go back, but it's found in Daniel chapter 6. There were some men that didn't like Daniel. They were envious of him. And so they decided they would simply cut him down. in this way. Here's what happened. Daniel was praying three times a day through an open window facing the temple in Jerusalem. And his adversaries convinced the king to make a decree that basically what Daniel was doing was illegal and that he should be thrown in the lion's den. Now, they didn't say Daniel when they made the decree, but that's who it was aimed at. So Daniel kept praying. He knew the decree was there, and he didn't stop a thing and kept right on with his bold approach to the throne of grace, seeking the help of God in his captivity. So the adversaries came back and told the king, you got to throw him in the lion's den. You've got a decree there, and that decree you have to obey. It's the decree of the Medes and the Persians. So he went into the lion's den, and you know what old Daniel did? Daniel stared down the very lions that were supposed to eat him. Why? Because those lions looked at that thing and said, I see one of us. Now, you've heard all kinds of reasons for it, and I'm just giving you another reason why the lions didn't eat him. But he looked like one of them. He got down there and they said, well, we can't eat this guy. He's as bold as we are. He's one of ours. We're not going to eat this guy. Then the next day he gets out and they throw the adversaries and their families into the pit. And those lions break their bones before those guys ever hit the ground, man. Why? Because they recognize in those guys, they're not one of us. They're not one of us. Paul, because of his boldness, like Daniel, professed to have been delivered out of the lion's mouth. In 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Why? Because he was a lion like himself. Bold. Bold. Don't mistake meanness for boldness. There is a difference. And I had to learn that difference. When I was trained by a fellow that was a drill instructor in hand-to-hand combat in World War II. He was training soldiers to kill people with their hands. All right, he got saved, he went into the ministry, and then he began to train preachers. Well, you can imagine that where I went to school was more like a boot camp than it was like any other kind of a school. You wouldn't call it a Bible school, and you surely wouldn't call it a seminary. It was just training, man. Training in the Bible, training as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, I came out of there with a lot of meanness in addition to boldness. And let me tell you something. I had to learn over time that a man can be plenty bold and be charitable at the same time. When Paul pled with the Corinthians about the sin that had crept into the Corinthian church, and when Paul pled with the elders of Ephesus about the warnings concerning wolves that would come in to destroy that flock after his departure, both times he professed and confessed to them that though he was bold in his presentation to get the sin out and to get the warning out, he did that day and night with tears. You know why? Because he was compassionate, and because he was charitable, and because he loved them. He was bold, but he also had a huge heart, and it showed, you see. So don't mistake meanness for boldness. I've seen people that are mean. I've done a good bit of street preaching over the years, and I've seen men get on the street corner, and they are just plumb mean. They're not ministering the Word of God. They're screaming at people words of condemnation that won't be used to bring them to Jesus Christ. Oh, on rare occasions, of course. You can get up there and you can be just as bold and just as loud, but God's doing something in the heart there with the filling of the Holy Spirit so that there's not meanness with it. It's just boldness. Now, of course, something else. You have to watch out for the smooth talkers, as we've warned you many times before. In other words, this. It is better to be a sheep in wolf's clothing than to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. You understand? In other words, if you're a wolf and you come in like the smooth talker, I'm not going to trust you, and I don't know many people who will, because you're too slick. It's obvious that you're up to something. But when a man is a sheep and he comes in with wolf's clothing, I'm going to listen to him, because I know that his bark is not as bad as his bite. He's really got my best interest at heart, but he's going to preach hard. You'll hear some men like that. Occasionally, you'll hear that good old sheep Lester Roloff preach and sound like a wolf. But he's got your best interest at heart. He wasn't being mean. He was trying to preach the devil out of you, preach the sin out of you. He was bold. Really and truly, there's nothing wrong with being a sheep in sheep's clothing. Be what you are. Be what you are. But be bold. You know, you've got to listen to this, and you've got to examine your own life, and you've got to see the areas where you're lacking boldness, and you've got to pray and ask God to build that boldness and courage in you, because when you've lost courage, you've lost it all. So be bold. And remember, as you're praying to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him for boldness, you are talking to the very best person in the universe about this matter. And he'll show you whether it's a matter of sin in your life that you got to kind of get straightened up so you don't weigh around with this guilty conscience that's causing you to flee when no man pursues. Or he'll show you whether it's just a lack of stepping out there by faith and depending on him to get the job done. Where you got to get better acquainted with his boldness and get away from the syrup that you've been, you know, on. A lot of people, I mean, they're listening to such sugar-sweet sermons all the time. It's no wonder they don't have any boldness. They don't see it demonstrated. So you might just need to get around some people that are more lion-like. Listen, remember this. You are the offspring of a lion, not the offspring of a house cat. Do you have it? Do you see it? That little old house cat's got all that long fur, and all he does is goes from the food bowl to the litter box to the sofa and back. That's no boldness there. That's a guy that's gotten very, very comfortable in his cush surroundings, and unfortunately, a lot of Christians like that. Your Savior is a lion, and you are the offspring of a lion, not the offspring of a house cat. So get some courage and get some boldness and then use that stuff for the glory of God. Speak up, speak out, and let folks know so that they won't die in ignorance around you and then wonder what that pussycat was that wasn't telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And you'll get that boldness from your Savior because you're righteous and the righteous are bold as a lion. God help you. God help you to be a bolder witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And a bolder stand for righteousness.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.